Today's daf is daf lamed, and we're holding at the question on the bottom of Chavtet Amud Beit as to why in the world Rabbi Yosef would have brought a raya from the Parsaim that since they eat meat raw, not raw meat, but without bread, and they eat stew without bread, so the shear for stew would be the amount of meat that you need in a suit. Remember that we came up with various different categories of food for Neirut. So something that's used as a dessert. Shear is what's the dessert, even though it's very, maybe only one small cup of chocolate mousse is enough, but that's okay to be called a suit, even though it's not the suit. It stands in for the suit. If you have something which is liftan, so it's used, well, not what we call dessert, but remember called liftan. Are you feeling okay, Sergeant? That it's eaten together with bread. So then the shear is how much is necessary to eat with the bread of tzedakah. The question was, and then of course if it's something which is eaten on its own as a suda, then the shear is what is necessary to eat on its own. So the question we had yesterday was a machlokas about meat stew. Is stew eaten dafka with bread? So Rabbah said, kidei lechol bo, not kidei lechol imeno. I never eat stew without bread. As much stew as you would eat with the bread. Doesn't mean you have to have a whole meal that's going to satisfy you with the stew. Rabbi Yosef says, well, the Persians, they eat stew without any bread, and they eat all the time meat without bread, and therefore the shear should be as much meat as you need. And yesterday we left off with Abaya's response to that. Abaya said, I don't understand. Now at the bottom of Chavtet Amud Beit, you're going to tell me because Persians eat that way, so therefore that should be considered the norm, and the melee, you need enough meat to eat without bread. I mean, the fact that I'm eating with bread, so it should be enough meat to eat with bread. As we've seen many times, the shear of what's considered to be the size of a beged, so the size of a beged is either 3 by 3 etzba'ot or 3 by 3 tvachim. I mean, we've had this many times. We have famous machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, whether this is only true legabe tumas midras, whether it's true bechlal legabe kol tumas. But in any event, one thing is for sure, we don't say that since this is good enough now for somebody else, for an audience, so therefore it should be good enough for an ashir. And we don't say since it's only good enough when it's an ashir, which is the case that you're saying over here. You think, since it's only if you're an ashir, so to speak. In other words, if you're a guy who eats a lot of meat at the Seudah, you don't eat it together with bread. The equivalent is you need more in the ashir, right? So we don't say, so therefore let's limit the aniyim and say it won't be tummy for them unless it's big enough for the ashir. We don't say that. That's essentially what you're saying. You're saying that Persians need an awful lot of meat, so therefore everybody should eat an awful lot of meat because the Persians don't eat it with bread. That would be the same thing to say that aniyim require a shear big enough for ashirim. We don't say that. We don't limit the size for aniyim based on what the shear is for ashirim. Unless you have that, then it's not going to become tasek. But here, v'chiten, and maybe they'll respond to me, well, yes, it's the same thing here, but you have to take into consideration which tzad is l'chumra. So l'gabe tuma, if we would assert that the ani needs the shear of an ashir, then you would be makel. So therefore, we're going to be machmer, and we'll say for the ani, it's enough for him to have a shear that would fit him. Mashenken, when you come to the eruv halacha, if you would say that, you would be makel, because you would say, oh, you don't need that much meat. You can even make an Erev Lakula to carry out, to walk out of the Chuman Shabbos. You could even make an Erev with something which is Chazi to you, even though it wouldn't be enough for the so-called Ani, the Asher. In other words, the Persian. So maybe we go Lachumra. We say in each case we'll go Lachumra. No, not true. Vatanya. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, Ma'arvim l'chole, v'lezaken k'dem l'zamno. Chole l'zaken can eat very, very little. And nonetheless, it says over here that you're able to make an Erev. Oh, you'll say, but a normal person would eat that. I mean, he wouldn't feel he ate hardly anything. But we say, since this person is a chola, all he can manage to do is get down a cookie. So that's a good enough air for him. So apparently we're not machmir. It was adarabu. We're going lakula. If it's good enough for you, it's good enough for you. So what are you telling me? Persians eat a lot of meat. Therefore, the shear of an air of the meat is not as liftan, but as the ikar suda. I understand. L'raftan, even if somebody eats a ton, but the shear for him is not what's required for a raftan. It's for a suda benonit, chocolata. What would satisfy a normal human being? This has to be enough. I mean, even though they'll say, but I'm not going to be satisfied with that. Fine, but that's the shear of the eruv. Kashi. That's not a problem for Rabbi Yosef's
approach. Why are we learning so many different kinds of food? Is there each thing you're giving us now?
Well, consider how much we've learned from it all so far. But what we've established is that there are so many different sets of types of, or I could say not types, parts of a meal. Isn't that right? So basically, we need to, if we're going to get to the distinctions even between peaches and apples, then obviously we're talking about a rather subtle issue. Because we've introduced the concept of chashivut for the suda, and as well as the particular role that something plays in the soda. You know, so we have the drink, we have the formal drink, or Guinness, so to speak, which we spoke about yesterday. We have the actual meat, so to speak, of the soda, the body of the soda. We have the herring, of course, that was a major issue. Then we've got the question of the dessert of the soda, the side dish of the soda. So sure, it's necessary for us. So far, we haven't done, really, if you think about it, we haven't done all that much, but define the different parts. So we have come a long way, baby. It started off looking like a lot of different things, you're right. Homebrewed, now we're talking. That's good. That's a lot more reasonable. That kind of thing I can even see. But is there enough for both of us? That's the
coffee one.
Two.
Unbelievable.
Full service. It's your God.
Five stars.
Fine. So, okay, are we more or less happy with that? You're right that we do need to be medallic in each one of these days. There's no question about it. I'm saying even us, little ones, we've learned an awful lot so far. We don't have an answer to the Taina against Rav Yosef. Why he chose part, that's true. It's not a very good proof to his contention. But meanwhile, we've introduced this new issue, of course, very sneakily, which is what we usually do in the Gemara, and we've introduced the question of how much the personal status of the person, the individual who's making the Eruv, his particular circumstances now, define the nature of the Eruv. If he's ill, or he's old, it doesn't take much nourishment, and so on. So we see that according to Rav Shimon ben Elazar, it's sufficient to follow his particular need. This now opens up a whole Pandora's box. The skipper has been told. A whole Pandora's box of halachas that are defined by the actuality of the need, rather than a conceptual, abstract shiur that the Rabbanan defined. We know most things, a shiur. Which is really, if you think about it, what it was that Rav Yosef and Abaya were discussing. How much of this is an abstraction, and how much of this is dependent on what a guy would actually eat, a person like this would actually eat. So here, for the first time, we find a Tana, Rav Shimon ben Elazar, who says openly that it's dependent Lakula, not Lakumra, dependent Lakula on the individual. In other words, if that individual gets one on less, it's enough for sure for him. If he needs a lot more, so then we would say, okay, but fine, but the Rabbanim were also kovei an abstract shiur. Okay, not enough for you, it's enough for most people. So apparently, in other words, what we were trying to say, maybe Hachalakumra, is exactly the opposite. If anything, we look for the Kula when it comes to Eruv. Fine, but meanwhile, we note that Rav Shimon ben Elazar says it goes according to the individual. Asks the Gemara, who mi amar Rav Shimon ben Elazar achi? Does Rav Shimon ben Elazar hold that shiurim are defined by the individual? Vatagya Rav Shimon ben Elazar omer. Oh, Melech HaBashan, Pitcho Bimlo'o. Now, before we begin this sugya, we should introduce, of course, like I was saying. Now, the Bashan is a place in Bani's neighborhood. But before we get to meet Og, let's talk about the halacha that we're referring to. It's a halacha that we've met before. But the din is that if you have a body in a house, that all of the doorways and windows of that house project to them, underneath them, even though the mate is really not under them. Now, this is a chumah de Rabbanan. It's called sof tumah latzeit. Since the tumah is going to be taken out this way, a kohen who's found under any of these areas is likely to become tameh. So, memela, we answered all of the windows and the doors. If, however, there is one door that is called a petach misuyam, that's the place that you've determined that the mate will be removed, the body will be removed from the building, then only that doorway is tameh, and the others aren't. A petach misuyam needs to be arba tvachim by arba tvachim, because that's the size that we need to remove a body of a normal human being. The problem is that Og Melech HaBashan is not a human being, a normal human being at least. He might not like the idea of not calling him a human being, since that was his whole drive in life, but a normal human being is. So the shaila is, what about his house, where he died? What door exactly would be metame over there? Rav Shimon ben Elazar says that in that case, the Og Melech HaBashan, the only way that we could be matzil the other doors and say that only this door will be the Petach Misuyam, the other's not, so this is now a kula. The only way we'll be meka is by finding a one door in the house that's big enough for Og Melech HaBashan to be taken out. But a Petach of Arba, that's not going to do the job. Here, Rav Shimon ben Elazar is saying that we're going to go according to the individual. This individual happens to be rather large. Says Abaya, I understand. What are you saying? What's exactly the comparison? The whole din of being matzil on a petach is a reality of whether we're going to be able to get the mate out of this petach. So what's the chiddush? What do you expect? Do you expect maybe hadumi na hadmei v'nachem? Are we going to be sawing Og Melech HaBoshan into small sections and taking him out of this petach? Is that what we're doing? I mean, this is a reality. If Lamaisa the mate cannot be removed from any of the existing petachim, so we're obviously going to have to make a new petach, or we're going to have to expand one of the existing petachim, but we have no reason to choose one over the other to make it a petach misuyam. So therefore, he's simply reporting the facts. It's not a theoretical shiur. This is an actuality. We're removing a mate. An Erev is not an actuality. We're not going to eat the Erev. Maybe we don't even need the Erev. Not interested in the Erev at all. It's a formality. No, but over here, Lamaisa, how are you going to get the body out of the house? And therefore, in such a case, of course, Rav Shimon ben Elazar's modem that Og Melech HaBoshan requires a petach large enough to be removed from. Let me ask you something. Pligi Rabbanan alei Rav Shimon ben Elazar alo. What did Rabbanan hold about that? Rabbanan hold that indeed there's such things as theoretical petach misuyam. Tashma, the Omer Rabba Bar Rachon or Rabbi Yochanan. Og Melech HaBoshan pitcho barba'am. Amazing. So here we find clearly there's a must be, must be Shita Satanai, that Og Melech HaBoshan, it's enough to have a normal petach. So apparently,
it was practically impossible.
Answers the Gemara, no. You don't understand the case. Hatadika ptachim ktanim tuva. What it's talking about in that case is like this. You're starting off with a lot of small ptachim, none of which fit the shiur of the petach misuyam of arba al arba. No. You have one petach that's arba al arba. Because of that, the vadai, the kiko miraveach, bahuka miraveach, you're going to have to expand one of the existing ptachim. Since one of those existing ptachim serves as a petach misuyam normally, that's the shiur of the petach misuyam is 4x4. Therefore, we have a right to say that in this particular case, since there's no other petach, that Mamela will keep the shear of petach misuyam. Why? Because when you're going to expand one of the openings, that's the one undoubtedly, the big one. That's the one that you're going to expand. So it's not simply because, in other words, let's say that we had a lot of petachim of 2x2 and one of 3x3. We wouldn't have said that's a petach misuyam because the shear of petach misuyam is 4x4. The shaila is, can you have a petach misuyam where you have a lot of similar openings? That's what Rav Shimon ben Gamliel is saying. It's not going to help now where you've got two petach the size of 4x4 and you've got another petach that's the size of 6x6. This is the one you're going to... No, sir. You want to define what the petach misuyam is. If there's a petach big enough to remove Og, fine. If there's not a petach big enough to remove Og, they're all the same. Mashenkin, in a case where all of the other petachim are small beneath the saf, beneath the threshold of the shiur of the petach misuyam, there ain't a chinam. If you have one petach, they're all agreed to. Is that the rabbanan argument? That one petach that fits the bill, the abstract bill, then it makes sense to say, okay, you know what? Even though in this case I can't get Og out of any of these petachim, but it certainly makes sense to say the one petach that's here is the one I'm going to go for. Let's say there was no petach except one. So would you say, so therefore the entire bayit, could the petach I might make anywhere, since I have to make a whole new door? No, you'll say, the door, I'll expand the door. This is the door. Therefore, even Aliva of Shemir ben Elazar, there'd be no problem in this case. Therefore, answers the Gemara. Hatam deikab tachim ktanim tuva. There it's talking about a case you got a lot of very small doors, windows. So essentially, you only have one door. The rest don't meet the threshold for doors. If that's the case, the vada, kitam miraveach, belkam miraveach, the one that will be expanded. It's not that we're really saying that. In other words, we're saying that it makes sense now to add Og Melech HaBoshan to this case because we could just as likely say we're going to expand the door, not the little holes for air. Okay, so here too we're going to expand this door. That becomes a petach misuyam. By the way, there's a big machlokas we've shown you as to whether petach misuyam has to be misuyam, meaning do you have to say, normally misuyam means you define it. Do you have to actually say this is the door that I'm going to be motzi the main? Or is the size of the door vis-a-vis the other doors sufficient to define it as the petach misuyam? Can I maybe open the opening? It's getting awkward. 4x4. Well, you'd be surprised what you can do to a body that's not no longer.
The problem is bigger. This would explain why he couldn't get into
it. You mean Teva Dov didn't have a petach misuyam? That was the problem.
No, that's what he did.
That's what Abba was doing in the Chumash. You knew the sugi that was coming up. You know that there's a question of where Og Melech HaBoshan was during the Mabul.
Was he hanging on somewhere?
At the end of the boat, right?
Well, so he's saying, so why didn't he get in? That's our petach misuyam question. Barnea will bring you a piece of hararat that I keep on my desk.
How big was the diagonal of the window? 4x4.
Yeah.
I knew it was 4x4, but then
so
you
got...
It's
worth a piece of
3! We saw yesterday that most shittas hold that basar chai is actually jerk.
So we're saying there is no machlokes.
Right, there is no machlokes. Omer Shimi Bar, yeah? You could even use raw eggs in a pinch, or if you're on one of these health diets. The kama, Anani used to eat raw eggs. He hated eggs. That was the fastest way to get them down. Yeah, it's in a pinch. You can do it. So Amar Nachman bar Yitzchak. Some have that Nachman bar Yitzchak himself said achas. And Sinai, we saw was Rabbi Yosef. They always call Rabbi Yosef Sinai because he was tremendous. Boki. Sinai Omar Shtai. So this is the mocker of the standard two egg omelet. It's only if you hold of Rabbi Yosef. Next time when your wife asks how many, you say Sinai. Or if you're only in the mood for one, you say Rabbi bar Yitzchak. Anoyim and Hamasin Mutter the Mayim of the Melach. So what are you saying? You're saying Mayim of Melach. Who the loyikoy masal? That case in the Mishnah that compared the types of foods. We had the din of Erevin, the Meiser. There's also din of Anoyim and Hamasin. And it said over there, if you say, I'm not taking any food, so Melach Mayim. Say Melach Mayim is the only thing that's not called Mazon. You told me that anything else is called Mazon. In other words, if I make a Buri Minei Mazonas on a chocolate bar, according to this, there should be Yotzer. But it's all called Mazon. That's what you're saying. Lemet Abit Yufta the Rabbi Shmuel. The Omer Rabbi Shmuel, the Amit Tavayar, Ein Mevarchim Buri Minei Mazonas, Ela Chamesh, is a meaning of According to Rabbi Shmuel, you cannot say a Buri Minei Mazonas if it's on a Chamesh Minei Dagan. So you see, from here we call Mazon anything but Mayim Melach. Tells just points out, hold on a second. I mean, even the Sheikhs that argue on Rabbi Shmuel, they still say only things like Orez, Dochan, things that you would make a meal out of them. Not suggesting Shlei Buri Minei Mazonas. So we could have asked not only Rabbi Shmuel, we could have asked on everybody. You're telling me the Mishnah is going, I'm not according to anybody. So that is clear, Zistosis, that the machlokas over there is that they weren't, everybody agrees that the takana of the bracha, burning the name is anot, is only for certain things, even if other things are amazing. By the way, there are sheetas all that you would be yotzei, but yavad. If you make a burning the name is anot, it's fine. See, we certainly don't make another bracha, because since they're those who hold that you're yotzei, you're yotzei. But in terms of the kviyut habracham, everybody would be made, says Zistosis, even if it's a dover that's mezin, we're only going to call it a burning the name is anot if it's a type of thing which not only is mezin, but which you go there, sort of like rice, which is a mainstay, okay? But certainly, Rabbi Shmuel, you can't even say a Borim name is anot on rice, on a sort of rice. So according to them, this is really a problem, because they obviously hold it's not included under Mizaynus. And yet the Mishnah says everything could be included under Mizaynus. It says, but wait a minute, remember back in Brochus, we proved that Rabbi Shmuel were wrong anyway from a bride. So Velavot Vina Chadazimna, we've already shown that they're wrong, or we accepted it as a Tiyufta. Fine, but Lemet Havik Tiyufta Nani Mihai, I mean, maybe we can really get them good. I have another Mishnah here that's against them. No, it's very important, you see, because you never know. Because somebody may come with a new theory that would explain the old Tiyufta and even make it work out and leave it around and Shmuel. And now we'd be stuck. We wouldn't even know about this if we wouldn't now point it out. You never give up. The Torah is always in flux. You can't say we already showed them to be wrong. What happens if one day we find out that what we showed them to be wrong was wrong? So we always need to maintain an ongoing dialogue on this issue. So maybe we have another Tiyufta. Amrevuna, not necessary. Maybe the case that we're talking about over here in the Mishnah that says you're usher in anything but Mayim Mazon doesn't want to use the word Mazon. Mazon has a particular context. It's not only something that nourishes, it's something that provides satiation of eating that. The only thing that doesn't nourish is a design, so that Mayim Melach doesn't have any nourishment in it. It has zero calories. So if that's the case, that's the only thing that won't be included. That's not the same thing as Mazon. Mazon is something else. Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Hey. Shehakol Nehiyeh B'Tzachon. This is such gishmakati, maybe we should make him a Zayin. So now you're saying that one, that Mayim Melach Hu D'lo Zayini. I'll call Mile Zayini. Anything but salt and water does provide nourishment. What about the famous case where they would go out and pick the perot ginosar that we had back in Brachot? The Omer Rabba Barbarchana gave us Zilna Basi Rabbi Yochanan Mecha Perot Ginosar. We used to do our annual perot ginosar trip. Tiavinam be mea. We had 100 guys. Havim matminam lekochad lechad asara asara. And each guy would collect 10. Tiavinam be asara. We had 10 guys. Each guy would collect 100. Lekochad lechad mea mea. And let me tell you something. 100 of these fruit were so big that havim maksiklut sana batlata sawi. He had a three bushel container would contain a measly 100 fruit. Okay, and let me tell you something. Rabbi Yochanan had an appetite, and Rabbi Yochanan ate the whole lot. That's pretty incredible. And after eating the whole lot, he said, "I swear, I just don't feel any nourishment." Somebody have dessert. So you see that apparently even other things besides Mayim HaMelach, they don't provide nourishment. Nah, come on, you couldn't have said that. Mayim HaMizona, what he said was, I don't feel nourished. That's a different issue. I'm not sated. So Mazon provides me a sense of being sated. Other things provide nourishment. Is that same thing?
Yeah,
Perot Ginosar.
Yeah. But maybe the implication of Ginosar is incorrect, because Rashi says there are Eretz this Yom Kippur, but that's not to be one particular valley, it could be the region around it.
Yeah, yeah, from the north of the Kinneret.
Right.
He certainly knew that he got lots of nourishment. I mean, that girth wasn't coming from nowhere, you know, but he didn't feel safe.
Not a
Shulishan. Not a Shulishan. Fine. Omer Avun. Suppose somebody makes a shua that he's not going to eat that particular kikar. Can he use that kikar for an eruv? Now, this is an expansion of the halachas that we've had in the Mishnah and the halachas that we just introduced. There's a personal element in the suitability of food. So if somebody is a chola, somebody is a zaken, so now there's a question of what the shear is. If to somebody this isn't food at all, so l'chora, it's okay because l'maisa, we said you can make it for Yisrael, but truma, it's a food for other people. So if he said shua shalo ochal kikazu, then ma'arvimba, why not? It's no worse than in Yisrael and having truma. But if he says kikar zo alai, then he's asking himself, even in hana'a, if it's asking himself for hana'a, then how can he have the hana'a of the Arab? So memela, then he can't use it. This is Rashi's approach. It's Rashi's approach throughout the sugya, and we'll follow it. But I just want to point out that Tosfos Hainas, it's very strange. If the difference is that it's between hana'a and achila, why did we switch cases? Why did we make one a case of shvua and the other a case of neder? It doesn't make sense. Isn't it more mashman that the issue is, did I make a shvua or did I make a neder? Not, did I ask b'achila or did I ask b'hana'a? At the end of the sugya, we'll go back and talk about Tosfos, and we'll see there's more issues that need to be thought of in these terms. And meanwhile, let's take Rashi's approach. The other thing, of course, that Tosfos has against Rashi's approach is that, generally speaking, an Erev has done the Tzorach Mitzvah. Since it's done the Tzorach Mitzvah, we pass the Mitzvah of Lehem not to. So you should be able to use something that's Asur B'Hana'a for your Erev. Because being Nene from an Erev is considered to be basically doing a Mitzvah. After all, you were going to meet, who was it, aunt? Which aunt was it you were out there? You don't remember her name even? It was Abba's aunt, his great aunt. Or a great Talmud Chacham. It was one or the other. So therefore, it should be okay. That's another reason I took except Rashi's chat. The question is Hana'a versus Achila. Okay, but according to Rashi, if I ask it b'achila, it's no worse than yayin l'nazir. If I ask it b'hana'a, then I got another problem. My problem being that I can't use it because I am enjoying the fact that I'm able to walk out of the tchum. Here it says b'feirush. Somebody who asks a kikar on himself, you can in fact make it as an error for him. Now, isn't the norm when somebody is noter min hakikar, it says kikar zu alai? A kikar zu alai usually means he's for hana'a. So therefore, it seems over here that Ravuna was wrong in saying that it would be us. My love, the Omer alive. We're not talking about that. He said zo. I'm ossering myself not in eating, but rather zo. Zo doesn't mean literally zo, but rather shalo ochal kikar zo. That's what it means. I won't eat it. And it says Ravuna, don't give me a hassle over this either, because it's clear that I'm right. If you're going to try to be an action about this and claim that we're talking about a case of Yisra Hana'a, how do you explain the next words? It says beferish over here, ematai. When do we say that ma'arvim lo ba? Bizman shamar shvua shelo et amena. I make a shvua that I will not taste it. Nothing about asering it b'hana'a. So you see that I'm right. And that ain't achinami. If I would have asered it b'hana'a, then in fact I would not have been able to make the error. Again, you see clearly the indications of Tosfos's problem. Because the example is that the guy said a shvua, whereas what was given was hanoder menakita. So I mean, certainly it's hard to believe it's coincidental that we keep bouncing back between neder and shvua over here. Avol Omar Alai says the Gemara to Ravuna, wait a second, just hold on. You're claiming that had I said Alai, what would have been the din? My Hakinami, Dein Marvaloba. Since he offered it on himself, therefore he cannot use it as an Eruv. So can you explain to me, Ravuna, why it is that this very same Braita continues to say that Iachi Adatani, instead of saying, but if he would have said Kikar Zo Hegdish, Dein Marvaloba, if he had made it Hegdish, then you can't make an Eruv about it, because after all, Hegdish is also to everybody, not only to this guy. What do you take such a far-fetched case for? You don't have to take a case that's so extreme. You could have simply said, if the guy had only answered it by Hila, then you can make an error. But if he answered even only on himself, then you can't. Instead, you said, no, if he made it answer on Kol Ha'ilam Kulay, by making a Hegdash, then you can't. So obviously, you're wrong from that part. I don't care how you're going to explain the first part. The second part doesn't make any sense. So you see, says the Gemara. Instead of saying, Liflo Galisle Bedida, you could have made the difference in the very same case by saying, if you answered it on yourself by Hana'a. So then, Ravuna says, Ravuna, okay, fine. You're the guy who's making trouble now. So now you want to be Madayik from that. So how are you going to learn the ratio? So you've got a contradiction here in this Braita, you see. You've got a contradiction, because the Braita itself is where the problem happened. The Braita says, Bamed, Varma Murim, Kisha Omar, Shvua Shalat Amena. So then it's the Braisa that's saying that the moment that you go beyond et amena, then it becomes Asur for Neirim. So how do you explain the Braisa? Forget about me. How do you explain the end of the Braisa in light of the beginning of the Braisa? You're going to have to deal with that problem, my friend. Don't throw it on my shoulder. So Amar Lecha Ravuna Elamai. Kol Eka Diomar Alai, you are Marvin. So then Kasha Reisha. So what are you going to do with the first part of the Braisa? Says the Gemara, I can handle that. But you can't. I can say that actually, this whole thing is Chasurim Achasur. Missing a little piece over here. What it should say is like this. Hanodir Menakikar Ma'arvin Lo Ba. And even if he would have said a lie, and he would have, it would have been mashma, isur hana'ah, and here's the word that's missing, na'ase ka'emer, no matter how he puts it, it's the equivalent of saying, shvu'ah shalo et amena. Why? Because when a person asers himself, afilu ba'ana'ah, the svara is that he only asers the main type of hana'ah from a particular thing. To say that when I aser a kikar and hana'ah, I'm not referring to eating it or smelling it, I'm referring to some arcane case in which I use it to be matir walking. What? That's not what a person is thinking when he asks something ba'ana'ah. So therefore, even if he asks it ba'ana'ah, it's irrelevant to the eruv. He's not answering by now that I won't stand on it in order to reach the telephone book. What's that to do with a kikar? So therefore, Nimela, even so, we hold there's no nafkamina. Because an Isur Hana'ah remains Asur in terms of Erev exactly the same as us Isurachim. But you, who don't hold that, you have a problem with this right. What are you going to do with this right? So that's the problem. So says the Gemara, so what are you going to say? Bikomakom kasha Ravuna. But according to Ravuna, it's a problem. Here it goes against his shita. So it's a tiyufta. Says Ravuna, okay, yeah, it is a tiyufta. You're right. But fortunately, there is a Tana that holds like Ravuna. Who in a case where somebody says, I won't eat it, then marvin loba. But if he says, kikar zo alai, a marvin loba. So from this braita, we see in Rav Shimon and Rav Eliezer exactly what Rav Huna was saying, except for one minor problem. The Rav Eliezer himself contradicts himself in another braita. Umiyom, Rav Eliezer Hakki, did in fact Rav Eliezer say there's no nafkamina. There's a rather major nafkamina between saying that something is asur in eating or saying something that is asur in achila. The Atanya doesn't say in another braita, zehakla. If a person answers himself on the food, so then ma'arvin lobana. Here clearly it seems to be saying a difference of shvua and neder. The person makes a shvua and he says, I won't eat the food. So then fine. Then it's an error because it's irrelevant. That's just the same thing. There's an isser on you, so you're a nasir. Okay. But if the ochel is ne'sar on the adam, ochel ha'ne'sar lo la'adam, then ein ma'arvin lobana. So in other words, if somebody makes an isser hanav from this kikar, so now he doesn't make the isser dependent on what it is that he's going to be doing. Any type of hana'ah is also on him. This way Rashi has to learn it. But it isn't a function better or shvua, which he doesn't like himself either, Rashi. And he brings another lashon. Yeah, the other lashon is that indeed, if you say kikar zeh alai, there's no problem here. Rashi gets into the question of mitzvahs lav la'enes nitnu. So there's no problem because over here it's mitzvahs lav la'enes nitnu and we don't care about the hana'ah element. But and it's no worse than a nozer and so on and so forth. But only in a case where he's going to aser the any type of usage of a thing. So it's not the hana'ah. It's that which comes out of this thing. That's not Nesalolada. Is the way he's learning. So then, in Achinami, you can't use it as an Eru. Whereas, so far, we have no problem with this, but the next piece is terrible. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Rabbi Eliezer himself says, no. Kikar zu alai, I don't care how you ask the kikar. You can ask the kikar and achila hana'ah. You can ask it even hana'ah de mela. Makes absolutely no difference. But you can be ma'arav on it. But if you say kikar zu hegdash, now it's not a foodstuff, because it's also to kolay alma. Oh, then ain't ma'arav in loba. But if you say ma'arav in begdashot, it's exactly the opposite. This Rabbi Elazar supports the braita that we brought that was the tiyufta of Ravuna. And the other Rabbi Elazar supported Ravuna. What's going on? Nothing's going on. Somebody's confused. Trey Tanai, I'll leave it to Rabbi Elazar. There's obviously two different reports in what Rabbi Eliezer said. There's certainly no way to square these two approaches. All right, so we're left basically with the question of, according to Rashi, whether asering something b'hana'ah would aser. According to Rashi, there'd be three diamonds. There'd be asering something b'achila, which is certainly not a problem for an Erev, because you don't have to have the Erev roi for you personally to eat. It's got to only be roi for somebody. We have the opposite extreme, which you made it hegd. There it's roi for nobody to eat. Everybody agrees in such cases. Can't use that for an Erev. Then we have a middle case, according to Rashi. Two middle cases, according to Rashi. One, where you aser it b'hana'ah, which according to some means you can't get the hana'at ha'irud. One where you aser any incidental use of this chayfet, which would aser even an eruv. That was the noob shot in the braita that Rashi wrote. Okay? Then you have, of course, some machloket, according to some. Even asering something b'hana'ah is not a problem, not because mitzvot lav la'enot nitnu, but rather because even an iser hana'ah is explained in terms of intent as asering the hana'ah of the primary usage of a thing, and not some incidental outgrowth of its use, such as your ability to walk foot for foot.
Somebody made an error for somebody, food that he was allergic to, and he didn't realize it. It would still be a good error, even though the
person... No, not necessarily. Not necessarily, because we saw before that there were two Ebites. Who's going to answer this question? Why is it not necessarily so?
It ain't necessarily so. That if you've got an allergy, you can use that food. Why not?
Where do we see an equivalent case before? Think. A guy has an allergy to a food, but other people don't have that allergy. Can you use that food for the person who has the allergy? Sabah Josh said, same as Nazir.
No, we had to
The sterility question. What, there were two Ebite Amos. You have the sugya. You already have the sugya, so please read it to us. You go ahead. You're not there? Okay. Remember, we had a question before as to whether a food that causes sterility is considered to be a food. So according to one teretz, we said, okay, for somebody who doesn't care if it affects his fertility, see? Like the other Ebite Ema, doesn't have anything to do with whether it affects your fertility personally. The fact is there are people who don't care about their fertility, they'll eat it. So that those two Ebite Emas basically address your issue. If we're talking about the food stuff not being roy as a food, yayin for nazir is perfect. I mean, the nazir is very happy to drink the wine. If it wouldn't be that there was some problem he'd get into, doesn't want to burn for drinking the wine, you see. But the wine itself is a real food for him. But here, with the guy's analogy, the food itself is not food for him. So that was the machlokas between the two lashinas of an Ebite Emas. You see how important Ebite Emas are. Each one of them takes a different approach. According to one sheet of Ebite Ema, we compared it to, as Sabah Josh did, the nazir behind. But clearly, there's a big difference between the food qua food and the food because of external issues that make it problematic for you because of Yisurin. It doesn't affect the nature of the food for you.
Intolerances or just
full
allergies in
general?
Three.
No, I think that's a two.
Two. Yeah, it's
two.
You didn't write up the list. I'm sorry.
Two, three, and four.
Some go down. I'm sorry. Well, this
test
is above natural.
The word
will help you
above. Fine. Okay. Now, Tokas, as I mentioned before, Tainas, that the difference between the two cases. It's whether you made a neder or whether you made a shvuah. He has to introduce a new principle. Because you see, since Tosas is taken for granted that an Isra Hano will not affect Erevin, because Erevin are made at Tzarech Mitzvah. And therefore, I think it was Aunt Sally, if I'm not mistaken, was made for Mitzvah. Great aunt. So therefore, there's no problem of the Isra Hano. So what's Nafkamina? Is a neder or shvuah? Says the Rashbam, the Nafkamina is very simple. When you make a neder, you basically use the same mechanism and word as making something hekdesh. When you say Kainim Zealai, it's really a lush of Korban Zealai. You're giving it a sense of it's being a hekdesh, set aside as if it belongs to the Lord. Therefore, we're afraid that people will confuse konamot with hekdesh. So if I can use something that was usher bekonim alai, I'd even be able to use hekdesh, which is not true. Hekdesh isn't good for anybody. From the Mela, he's mefarish and sugi along those lines.
It's like when you can't prohibit the arba minhag on yourself because you have the mitzvah.
Yeah, correct, exactly. The Nafkamina would be, is the thing usher or is the act of it? How do you know? Sometimes.
When I look.
Yeah, that's off.
Number seven?
Yeah, but why don't we wait till after?
Really doesn't want to get right there.
I know that it just bothers you to see somebody sitting like that.
Exactly where we're right now, yes.
Yeah, okay, thanks. But can we please sit down?
Just do the crack.
No, seriously. Thank you very much for your sensitivity and awareness. I'm not believing, I feel it. Okay. Ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin. The next thing we had was the machlokas between Sumchas and the Chachonim about the nozer b'yayin, the Yisrael v'truma. Now, before we even begin, one thing's clear, that the Mishnah is certainly not going to leave it to Beit Shammai, because Beit Shammai holds both are not suitable for Nair. Ein ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin, ein ma'arvin l'Yisrael v'truma. The whole thing is completely wrong. Whereas Beit Hillel, omrim ma'arvin l'nozer b'yayin, l'Yisrael v'truma. Our Mishnah clearly reflects only Beit Hillel's opinion. Amrulam Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, so Beit Hillel. Interesting that, of course, once again, we sneakily introduce a whole new concept here by introducing this conversation between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Amrulam Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai. Yatem modim shem me'arvin legadol biyom ha-kippurim. Ah! This is an interesting thing. A guy's got to walk on Yom Kippur Chutz L'Tchol. He's going to make an Erev so that his home should be the place where he's going to eat his meals on Yom Kippur. How is that supposed to work? So how can he have an Erev on Yom Kippur? Nonetheless, we allow an Erev on Yom Kippur because since if he wouldn't be a bar mitzvah, he would be able to eat this. So it's good for kids that aren't bar mitzvah. Same thing as a Nazir B'Yayin, right?
So he needs a bag of
bakla. So exactly. So you yourself should be made. Omrulahan said Beit Shammai to Beit Hillel. Aval? Absolutely. Ah, now we've got you, says Beit Hillel. Omrulahan, if that's the case, Kishem Shemarvin Lagado, the Yom HaKippurim, Kach Marvin Lanazir Yayin, Le Yisrael Betruma. What's the difference? How does Beit Shammai explain the difference? The difference is, and here's the new concept, Hatam Ika Se'udah Ru'uya Miba'od Yom. Hachaleka Se'udah Ru'uya Miba'od Yom. Now this is a new idea. At what point does the Arab become an Arab? We'll see later on there's a machloket whether you're kona Arab b'sof yuma. Because you can't make the Arab on Shabbos. Arab Shabbos. Exactly. Right at the very last minute of Friday. Where are you at the time that Shabbos becomes Shabbos? So therefore, time is Beit Shammai. At the time that Yom Kippur becomes Yom Kippur, you still have something kosher to eat. So now it becomes Yom Kippur. Okay. Mashenken over here, you're a Nazir, the Yayin before Shabbos. How can you eat it? You're a Yisrael eating Truma before Shabbos. Therefore, there's no comparison. The reason that it's okay on Yom Kippur is not because of the question of I can eat it, but somebody can. It's because it was Roy, at least as a Suda before. Of it was never Roy.
And I wouldn't exclude raw food.
We're getting into that.
But there's
other ways that would make it. It could be, although it may have to be, it may be a combination of two factors, since it's right too. We'll see more of this when we get. Says the Gemara, but this whole conversation is not like Hanani, because the Tanya, Hanani Omer, what are you talking about? Big Shammai didn't hold a Eruvin. Bichlal, he didn't hold you could make a formal Eruv Katzer. He held, you gotta be darn serious. This is like selling your chametz for Pesach. Don't believe a word of it. You wanna make a real Eruv? Move your bed out. Put your closet out there.
Tumim.
Yeah, Tumim. I want to see you. Tell me this is your Makom Shvita. Where do you sleep? Where's your clothes? What are you going to be wearing? You got that out there? Fine. Then you got an Erev. What's this little bowl of chocolate mousse? You're going to sleep in the bowl? So therefore, Beit Shammai says, Achiyotzi mitato v'chol klei tashmisho l'sham. You bring out your bed, and you bring out your clothes, and then we'll talk. So Mamela, according to Hananya, this whole conversation doesn't make any sense, because Beit Shammai certainly wouldn't have discussed this particular question.
That's not food at all.
There's much more involved. Yeah. Now, come on, the question is like this. Suppose on Erev Shabbos, you were in a matzav of being a yeshiva bocher. So you were wearing all black. Comes now on Shabbos, and you're going to one of these affairs of the Frenchies that they have over here, everybody was all white. Now you're in trouble. Just to be, make sure your yates are both direct.
And we tell these to wear gray hats.
There you go. That's what I was told about old European. That explains it. It's very, very double the tradition. Well, maybe it's just a Lita envy. So now, what's happening over here is the guy's got to wear white clothes the next day. He can't go out wearing white clothes because he didn't have those white clothes on before Shabbos. Yeah. On the other hand, if he was going to Beit El on Friday night and then he wants to head out to Mir on Shabbos morning, he can't go out wearing his black suit on Shabbos morning because he was wearing his white suit the night before. Who's that going according to? Come on. Who would hold such a thing? Yes, it's got to be Hananya. I'll leave it at Beit Shammai. Because since Hananya held that an Eruv is only what you're actually going to use on Shabbos, so therefore, if you didn't bring out your black suit while you were wearing your white suit, you can't use that black suit because it means you didn't have your Klita Shmisha on Shabbos, or vice versa. But as to if that's the case, the whole Eruv is bought. It's not just that you can't change your suit, it's you didn't bring out what you needed, and therefore it's not a kosher Eruv. Because Beit Shammai said anything that you needed on Shabbos, you have to have there. Oh, now wait a minute. It's the second as the first is to walk into Mir wearing white. So therefore, Lechananya Bishkorim. What do you tell me? He would be yitzer wearing, if he would be allowed to be yitzer wearing his white suit. I thought we said that unless the guy brings out what he needed for Shabbos, including his bed and his closet with his suits and his
wardrobe,
his entire order from IKEA out there. You got it? So then it's not considered to be a kosher Eruv? It's the Gemara. You're right. It doesn't work out according to Hanani either. We've got a little mistake over here. Okay, Gemara. The meaning of what it said here was that Irei Bilavanim, and it turns out you need Shechorim, then you can't go out at all, even wearing your white suit. Af Bilavanim lo Yitzchak. That's what the writer meant, and we ask him on, so who would be the sheet of such a writer? That's clearly Hananya, Aliba the Beit Shammai. You didn't bring out everything you ever needed. Yeah. Sumcha somer b'chulin. Yes, it has to be chulin, not truma. But he has to say a word about nazir. How come Sumcha doesn't argue about the nazir case? Vilul the nazir b'yayin lo poli. My time. Why doesn't he argue on that? Mishum de efshar mitzvah nazirute. He could always go to a chacham and he could make a sheilat on his neder and be mavatel his nazirut. Wait a minute. You could do the same thing for truma.
You can untruma
something. You can't uncoin something. But you get on truma because truma is created with a mouth. It's created with the getter and the daughter. It's like nidrei hagdash. So why can't you, same way you could ask on a netter, you can ask on your truma?
You have to be most of the homage.
So after, no, after the mitzvah, like, you can go ahead and you can ask. Yeah, but if you do, it becomes terrible. Then it's not right for anybody to eat. So therefore, what are you going to do? You're going to say, so what? I'll go now and I'll make it non-truma. Then it won't even be right for the kohen. So it won't be right for anybody. So therefore, he ushered the case of Yisrael
b'truma. And tip early on, anybody could become sick of Yom
Kippur. That's not b'yodai. V'lifra shalami mokam acher. Wait a minute. Even if he turns it back into tevel, wouldn't he be allowed, since it's Bein HaShemashot, and since now it's a tzarev mitzvah, he could always now make something truma in his house. He'll say, okay, fine, this is tevel, but I have more apples in the house. Let one of those apples on the north side, let that be the truma for this Erev, and then the Erev would be kosher, and then it ought to be okay. Because since it's biyado to eat it, so then it should be no different than the yayin b'mazir. And so because it's more than yayin b'mazir. Nah, lo nechshu kaverim mitrom shalom en amukam. People know the halacha, you're not supposed to be terem if it's not next to what it is that you're going to eat. I, says Tesis, but in an emergency, I thought that for the bar mitzvah, it would be okay, because it says the kavod Shabbos, you don't have what to eat. You could be terem shalom en amukam. It's beferish, that's what you need to eat. Says Tesis, that's all very nice, but they were only matir for the actual usage of food on Shabbos and the kavod Shabbos, not for the use of an erev that would allow you to walk on Shabbos, which is itself some other tzarech mitzvah, that they weren't matir. So, wait a second, why are we talking about shalom en amukam? Why don't you take off a piece of the apple of your erev and set it aside for truma, since it's still being hashmashot. What's the problem? So leave for shalom and obey. No, you don't have enough. You have exactly the amount of apples that you need. You can't slice off that tiny little bit that makes it kosher in the truma. Huh? Umar, Pascha? What are you talking about? The Tana chooses a case right at the edge, right? That's the only case. Why in the world would Sumchus be talking about such crazy things? But exactly enough, you can't even take off truma. That doesn't make any sense. Yeah, you're right, it doesn't. Okay, let's try another attack. Sumchus serve like a rabbanan. Yamikol davar shum mishum shvut. Gazru alav ben hashmashot. The reason that you can't take off Trumas and Maisers is because since you're not allowed to take off Trumas and Maisers on Shabbat, you can't take off Trumas and Maisers even Bein HaShemashot, because Sumchus is of the opinion that there's no difference between Bein HaShemashot, Fair of Shabbos to Shabbos, and Shabbat itself. In both cases, you mustn't do Tikkun of the Eichlin, take off Trumas and Maisers, Tikkun of the Eichlin. Okay, how about this Mishnah? Kabbalah knows all that's not. Yesh Amru, and here we finally have it now classified. There are certain things, says the Mishnah, there are certain things in which the Shiur was defined by the individual. That Hakol Lefi Mashahu Adam. It's all according to the particular individual human. For instance, Molo Kum Tso. Somebody is a Kohen. He has to bring a Kometz for a Mincha. It's his Kometz. We don't say, well, the guy next to me is half my size. I'll take half a Kometz. No. Your Kometz. You're a Kohen on Yom HaKippurim. Molo Chofnav. It's his own. Particular chofnaim, putting his hands together. How much of the ktoret can he hold, Rich? So it's molo chofnav ktoret. Hashote molayim ludmav b'yom hakippurim is a big guy, and he's drinking on Yom Kippur. There's no shiur of shtia on Yom Kippurim. There's only a shtia of satisfaction. So the shiur is there, each according to the size of his own body, his own jowls. And when it comes to eruv, ubimazon shtei su'udot le'eruv. Now here we finally get to the crux of the issue. But when it comes to an eruv, it's all according to the guy. The old melech habashan, so then he would need to have enough to fill Og Melech HaBashan. Who is this going like? Says Rabbi Zeir, well, I mean, it sounds the same as Sumchus. Because Sumchus was saying that it has to be right for the guy, and that if it's only right for somebody else, you're saying, my friend's a Kohen, he could eat it. Yeah, but you're not a Kohen, you can't eat it. And therefore, it's no good, Sumchus says. That apparently is the meaning of this Mishnah. Therefore, says Rabbi Zeir, Sumchusi. Yomar mai dechazi lebeina. So then, if that's the case, let me plead that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Didn't we say before, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said that you can make an error for a chola and a zakein, kidei mizono, but if he's an enormous appetite, l'raftan, and then he takes standard suda, the suda beinonit. So in other words, we're not saying that he eats l'fi mashu adam, that he needs a suda that's big enough for him. If to him a steak is nothing, he needs four steaks. So I'm going to say that for him an erev is four steaks. Is this Mishnah then Kenega that Shita? Says the Gemara, no. You know what? Tirguma, maybe the Mishnah that says that it goes in Asherhu Adam was going Lakula. In other words, the Chol of the Zakein part. But the Rav Tam, but La Datoi Zukol Adam, that's not considered. The fact that you personally have a big appetite, that's all, that's that. And that's but La Dato. Most people don't eat like that. And therefore, we're not going to be Kobeya as Udin like that. Ask Tosfin. So if that's the case, then we can ignore Sumchus. If you're ready to say the Mishnah is only referring to the fact that we can give it to a Chol of the Zakein, right? It doesn't have to be roi for this person to have sorb. Wouldn't we be able to say the same thing? He's only going in according to kol v'zaken. And the rabbanan also are made up. As a matter of fact, the rabbanan are even more made up in Erev than Sumka says, right? Sumka is being machmir. So if the rabbanan say you can go for a kol, and if Sumka says you can go for a kol v'zaken, okay, the rabbanan are going to say you're going to go for a kol v'zaken. So if the Mishnah is saying over here kol mashu adam, and we're saying that only means l'kula that you can give for a kol v'zaken, why didn't we throw out Sumka? We should have just said ela alibi the rabbanan, ela the kuliyam, or whatever. What did we need to stick as if we're explaining why it would go like Sumchis? And nonetheless, it's not a question of Shemin Elezer. No, the Gemara is very strange. Usually, the Gemara ends up saying, Ela, it has nothing to do with that machlokas. But this Mishnah, but la daita. Taina is a fascinating taina. It's really fascinating. That according to the Rabbanan, this taina says, you wouldn't be able to have a case of a Suda that is roi only for a Ola Vizaka. You'd have to use Davka as Suda Veinanis. Because the point over here is, if you were giving them food that they couldn't eat, remember, there's two issues with a chol v'zaken. How much food? What type of food can they tolerate? If I'm giving a chol v'zaken food that they can't tolerate, so that means I'm relying on the abstract shear. Mm-hmm. Oh, but if I'm relying on the abstract shear, there has to be enough that's correct for an abstract chol.
Not a chol v'zaken.
Right, for the so-called normal.
Food that they can't eat.
So in other words, it's not reasonable to say there's two separate shearing. That there's an abstract shear for a chol, and there's an abstract shear for a normal person. Once I'm throwing myself onto the abstract shear, so then if you're saying, but he's sick, he can't eat this. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But Joe could eat it. Yeah, but Joe needs a whole platter. You're right. The shear is the whole platter. But the Zaken can't eat the whole platter. Yeah, the Zaken can't eat the thing at all. So we're not going to make two separate shiurim of norms, one for normal Zaken v'choles, and one for, in terms of the amount, and one for normal people, in terms of the food stuff, the type. Therefore, Tainus does this. That in Achinami, we're going to have to be saying this. Sumkas, yes, Sumkas it is. And now, what about the Shimon ben Elazar? Okay, Shimon ben Elazar was the only talking about over here on the in terms of the Kula part, the Kula Vesakim.
Yeah.
All right, I think we'll, let's say one little more piece here, 30 seconds. The Kohen, the Beit HaPras, why is the Beit HaPras, how can the Kohen get into the Beit HaPras? Because the Omer Yiram Mishmuel, ben Apeach Adam Beit HaPras for Olech, since Rav Yiram Mishmuel says you can use a blower to go across the Beit HaPras, so that's, you can always do that. Agav, not that it's okay here, but this is just, we're bringing it together. Rav Yiram Barami, Mishmuel, Rav Yiram Amar, Beit HaPras, Shinidash Tor. Since we're talking about over here, the reality of the chances of your coming into contact with a bone, so once this has been trampled over, then it's already not shayach that you're going to actually touch a bone that's on the surface would also be tar for a kohen.
Does everybody know why this nibble limit?
This is a multiple choice question. Can you give us the choices?